Thank you for joining me for our midweek Bible study here at First Baptist Church Goshen. Today we are looking at verses 15 and 16 of 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, shame is not something that we enjoy feeling, yet it is something that many of us have experienced, including the Apostle Peter. On the night before Jesus was arrested, Peter boasted on how he was prepared to defend and even die for Jesus. The Lord told Peter that he would deny him three times, that is, that Peter would deny the Lord three times before the rooster crowed. Let's look at Luke's account before we get into our text today. So, in Luke 22, verses 54 through 62, the account goes like this. Verse 54, they seized him, led him away, and this is speaking of Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." After a little while, someone else saw him and said, "You're one of them too." "Man, I am not," Peter said. About an hour later, another kept insisting, "This man was certainly with him, since he's also a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. Then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine the shame that Peter felt once he realized that he had denied Jesus not once or twice, but three times? In our passage today, we will be instructed not to be ashamed for being a follower of Christ. You know, on that night, Jesus was ashamed. He hid the fact that he was a disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, as we look at today's passage, we will be instructed not to be ashamed for being a follower of Christ. Our instructor, that is Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter was once ashamed when he faced the trial, when he was faced with the trial and crucifixion of the one he followed. Thank God that the Lord never leaves us as we are, but he changes us. You know, Peter never denied his Lord again and was one of the boldest proclaimers of the gospel. Now we have the words of Peter as he is approaching death. In verse 15 of 1 Peter 4, he says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name." Pray with me. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given us. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word with those who will log on to the website and listen. And Father, I pray that you would bless them, that you would draw us all closer to you as we look at your word. Help us not to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and help us to boldly proclaim as Peter did, especially after he was restored by you. Following the resurrection. So, Lord, we thank you for our time together. We ask that you would bless it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, as we are making our way through 1 Peter, we are seeing how we are to live in these last days. And no doubt, with the things that we are seeing on the news, it's August the 14th, 2024, as I'm recording this. We have Iran threatening to retaliate on Israel for Israel's killing of the Hamas leader while that leader was in Tehran for the inauguration of the new president of Iran. And so as we are dealing with this subject matter of living in the last days, as 1 Peter, the letter of 1 Peter is instructing us. We are dealing with some biblical type events. And the reason why I say biblical type, some of the things that we see going on may be the fulfillment of prophecy related to the last days. And so not only do we have that going on, but if you look at Matthew 24, Jesus speaks of wars and rumors of wars in the last days, along with earthquakes in various places. And Japan just had a large earthquake just a few days ago. And so we are living in the days that have the signs related to what the Bible says things would be like as we await for the return of Christ. And so we need to be proactive, and we need to be diligent to be faithful to the Lord as we wait his return. So this section that we are dealing with today in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, addresses how we are to face suffering. In other words, the fiery ordeal. Now, in verse 15, we are told to not suffer. He says, do not suffer as. Now, we are given four things not to suffer as. Now, as we saw last time, there are reasons in which we are not blessed to suffer. We are not blessed when we bring suffering upon ourselves, but we are blessed when we suffer for the name of Christ. We are not blessed when we suffer for foolish and sinful acts. And one of the things that Peter says here in verse 15 that we are not to suffer as is as a murderer. Now, do you find it interesting that a letter written to followers of Christ says to not suffer as a murderer? Well, I do. I find it very interesting that Peter would choose, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course, that the Holy Spirit would choose to put in here, and when he's talking about suffering, that we would not suffer as murderers. Now, I do not necessarily think that there is a danger of followers of Christ killing others. Of course, there might be, but if we're truly following Christ, we're going to be respecters of human life. We're going to follow the law of God, and we're going to respect other image bearers of Christ, and we are not going to murder. Now, suffice it to say that this does not include, you know, self-defense or acts of war. If you're in armed forces serving your country, and then the responsibility of all that falls on the leaders of the country and not necessarily on those that are in the military. So as we think about this, and also I would also say with law enforcement in the line of duty, that they would there is a righteous taking of life when it is necessary. But in the case of murdering, I don't think that we ought to consider suffering as a consequence of murder as something to be blessed in or something that a Christian should do. Now, as I said earlier, before I digressed a little bit, I don't think there's a huge danger of Christians going out and killing a bunch of people. However, as we think about this and Peter telling us do not suffer as a murderer, I am reminded of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 21 and 22, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to our ancestors, do not murder, and whoever murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be subject to the court. Whoever says you fool will be subject to hellfire." Jesus continues in those verses to telling us to be reconciled with each other. And he's telling us here that murder is an attitude in the heart that first of all destroys relationships. The Lord holds us accountable not just for our actions, but he'll also hold us accountable for the attitudes of the heart. And many people suffer under the weight of unforgiveness, and we murder each other in our hearts with unforgiveness. And in reality, when we withhold forgiveness, we're hurting ourselves more than the one we're keeping forgiveness from. And we also need to understand that the Lord inspects the heart. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, the scripture says, "Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him." And so the hatred and that type of Murder of the heart, including, you know, of course, the act of murder, should not be known among followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it might happen, somebody may commit that before or they're saved, but following salvation, this type of attitude, this type of hatred in the heart should not be in us. And so we should not suffer as Christians, as murderers. It should not be a part of us. And so, you know, one of the things that I've said before, and it's not original to me, and I can't tell you who said it or who I got it from, but, you know, forgiving people forgive. If we truly have experienced the forgiveness that God gives to us when we are saved, then we will forgive others. When we understand the transgressions that we have done against the Lord and that He has forgiven us of those things, we also understand that there is nothing anyone can do to us worse than what we did to the Lord as we lived in rebellion. If the Lord can forgive us, then we can forgive others as well. And so we need to be careful about the attitude of our heart, because if we have hate in our heart, the Bible declares that we are a murderer. And so be careful with how your attitude is toward other people. So the Apostle Peter, in this letter, he tells us not to suffer as a murderer, and he also tells us that we should not suffer as a thief. Now, many of us, we may not have an issue of stealing from other people. You may have never stolen a piece of bubble gum from a store. I don't even know if the stores sell individual pieces of bubble gum anymore or not. I can remember in high school working in a grocery store where you could go get a 3-cent piece of bubble gum there in the candy section of the store. And it was right there by the cash register so that the cashier had an eye on it. But a kid could pick up a piece of bubble gum and pay for it. And sometimes kids, they stick it in their pocket rather than paying for it. And so I don't think when he's talking about suffering as a thief that we necessarily need to understand it as actually stealing from somebody else. But when we think of theft, I think more of us are guilty of theft than what we probably realize. Think about this for a moment. How many times have we stolen something due to the Lord? That is, how many times have we stolen something that the Lord deserves instead of us? How many times have we stolen the glory that is due to the Lord? How many times have we stolen time that is due to the Lord? And how many times have we stolen from the Lord by refusing to bring our offerings? And we need to understand that we can steal from the Lord, not just from withholding our offerings and not just from withholding the time that He deserves, whether it would be church attendance or the personal private prayer life, or where you have your personal devotion with the Lord, giving Him time of your life and service and things like that. But also there are times when we attribute good things that we have done to ourselves rather than attributing it to the Lord, when He's the one that gave us the talent and ability to do the things that we do. And so I remember when I was preaching on pride in a previous church, and I had a gentleman take exception to it because he took pride in doing a good job at work, but I tried to relay to him, although unsuccessfully, that even our ability to do a good job at work is from the Lord blessing us with the ability to do it. So we ought to give God honor and glory even for those things. Now, Peter not only tells us that we're not to suffer as murderers and as thieves, but he also tells us not to suffer as evildoers. Now, I recognize that many of us churchgoers, we don't see ourselves as evildoers. We're not out carousing. We're not out frequenting the casinos and the places that we really should not be a part of and all that. But as we think about this description of evildoer, we don't need to dismiss it as something that we have no issue with. This word evildoer is literally wrongdoer. It can be translated as wrongdoer, not just evildoer, but simplified as being wrongdoer. Now, I don't think anyone is exempted from this description. We're all sinners. All of us have sinned. All of us have done wrong. All of us are wrongdoers. However, if we've been born again, rather than continuing on in sin, we need to be holy. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verses 15 and 16? He says, "But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, 'Be holy, because I am holy.'" So we should not suffer for doing wrong. We should not suffer for being an evildoer, and nor should we consider ourselves blessed if we suffer for that murderous attitude, for our thievery or stealing from the Lord or even from other people or even our evil doing or wrongdoing. We should not consider ourselves blessed when we suffer for those things. But there's a fourth thing that he tells us not to consider ourselves blessed when we suffer for, tells us not to suffer for these things. Let me remind you, he says in verse 15, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer." And then this fourth thing, "or a meddler." A meddler. How many people today or, throughout time, really, have that issue of being a meddler? A meddler is someone who sticks their nose where it does not belong. A meddler is a busybody, a person who does not mind their own business. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, "About brotherly love, you do not need me to write you, because you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. In fact, you are doing this toward all the brothers and sisters in the region of Macedonia, but we encourage you, brothers and sisters, to do this even more. So seek to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, so that you may behave properly in the presence of outsiders and not be dependent on anyone." My goodness, did you realize before I read that the Bible literally tells us to mind our own business? And so, we've looked at these four things that we are not to suffer for. You know, the murderous attitude, the evil doing, I keep forgetting that second one as I go through here, thief, being a thief or stealing, and then, of course, being a meddler. And so as he's telling us not to suffer for these things, he's instructing us, implying for us that we are not to do these things. If we do these things, we should be ashamed of ourselves. We should be ashamed if we suffer for doing these things. We should be ashamed of the committing of these things. We should be ashamed of these attitudes in our hearts. But there is a suffering that a Christian experiences that we are not to be ashamed of, and that is suffering as a Christian. Let me read verse 16 again. It says, "But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name." What name is he talking about? Well, the name Christian, which means little Christ or follower of Christ. And so suffering as a Christian is not something that we should be ashamed of in any way. As a follower of Christ, we ought to be, well, I don't want to say proud, because pride is a sin. Let's suffice it to say we should not be ashamed to be a Christian. And a Christian, of course, is a follower of Christ. Therefore, a Christian is a child of God, chosen in Christ. The Christian is a citizen of heaven, destined to rule with Christ. The Christian is redeemed by the blood of Christ and is at peace with God. The Christian is guided by the Holy Spirit and empowered by Him as well. The Christian has an ever-present help in the Holy Spirit, and the Christian is prayed for by Jesus Christ. When we understand who we are in Christ and whose we are, there is no room for shame. We cannot be ashamed. Therefore, we must glorify God rather than being ashamed for being a Christian. One does not suffer for having the name of Christian simply by claiming to be one or by attending church. We suffer for having the name of a Christian when we live out our faith by being like Christ. When we suffer for the name of Christ, we should glorify God because it shows that we are becoming more like Christ. And we should glorify God because we are showing that we are different from the world. 1 John 3, verses 13 and 14 says, "Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death." And so we should glorify God because we have passed from death to life. We should glorify God because he deserves it. When we glorify God, it reminds us of where our hope is. Our hope is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and our goal should be the same as Paul's. Philippians 3, 7 through 11, the Apostle Paul says, "But everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead." So, considering that passage, considering all that we've talked about this morning, it's still morning here, it's 11:55 a.m., let us consider everything to be lost and seek to know Christ, to be like Christ, to share Christ with the world around us. You know, as we've talked about these things, and as we've thought about how we should not, and the things that we should not suffer for, and the one thing that we should suffer for, the question that we should ask ourselves, are we living like Jesus? Can others see Jesus in you? And I have to ask myself, can others see Jesus in me? I encourage all of us to let go of the things that keep us from being like Jesus and press on to be like him, to be conformed to his likeness. And let us show others Jesus in and through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the simplicity of it. Help us not to suffer as a murderer, a thief, as a meddler, or even as an evildoer. But help us to suffer for the name of Christ, being counted as blessed when we suffer for having the name Christian. Lord, help us to glorify you in all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you have a blessed week.